Right, we are in our Bible study book, and I ordered a couple more books because we do not have any, but I did print off the sheet that we'll be on today if you do not have a book. Anybody need a sheet? That's what that be 52. You need a sheet, just let Levi know. Right, 52. Yep. Amen. And what we're looking at in this book is that title there on page 51 there. Why study is the question. Why should we study? And I'll encourage you to definitely get acquainted with this book, mark it up. And then this is another one of those that if you're working with someone, and I want definitely our church to get better and better at soul winning and then also discipleship. That's why on Wednesday nights we're taking time. Heard good feedback from Wednesday where we're actually working with each other, working through that salvation book, and then give time for people to kind of work back and forth on how to lead somebody in, through that book. And that book is just a bunch of scripture is really all it is, and to get someone to where they're saved. My prayer is through this tent season that every person connecting with our church would have opportunity, every born-again believer to lead someone to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Man, if you've not done that, I'm telling you, it's better than sliced bread. Amen. It's better. It's just about as good as getting saved all over again when you lead someone to Jesus. Amen. And so you see someone get saved and you're able to be that one that God uses for that purpose. And it does something to you. Amen. And then not only that, to be able to disciple someone. And that's an up and down thing because people disappoint you a little bit. Amen. When you're discipling and they don't maybe grow as fast as you'd like them to, but we just need to remember our process of growth. It wasn't exactly a straight uphill line. Amen. It was kind of up and down. Amen. To where we're at today. And so, but those two things, very, very, very important. So how to study our Bible, this is going to be key to us being able to be used by God for these things. So why study? And we've already come through a couple things on page 52 there. We study why to be saved, amen, and that's important. Without, by the way, nobody got saved without the Word of God being involved, amen, amen. It's not about our works, it's about His work, amen, and so very important, amen, that we understand that. And then so why study? First, to be saved, and if you know someone that's lost, they need to be studying their Bible. There's been a lot of people, a lot of skeptics that have set out to prove Christianity wrong, and in their study of the Bible, ended up being convinced and got saved through it. That's how powerful the book is, amen? And so to get people into the book, amen? And and by the way, when you speak the Word of God to people, you don't always have to give the reference, amen? You can speak the Word of God. It's just as powerful without the reference as with the reference. And so you can use the Word of God in that way, and that'll be a blessing to you, amen? And so we study to be saved, and then to know God. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We started looking at that a little bit, and we're going to come on down to page 53 here in a minute. So we study to know God, amen? And so, by the way, the Old Testament is really good about that. Can anybody tell me the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in reference to why we would study each? Why would we study the Old Testament? Yes. Yep. And in the Old Testament, the law is definitely contained. It's not the whole thing, but a part. Mm-hmm. So we would study the Old Testament to know the law, because the law would then bring us to Christ. It would show us that we're a sinner. Amen. Yeah.
To know the history of what happened to people and how they came to know the Lord.
Right. So history of what?
History of the people, the Israelites.
Okay. That's part of it. Right? That's not the whole Old Testament. The whole Old Testament is not Israel. Right? It starts out in the beginning. So, but history is a big reason. We study the Old Testament to know the history from the beginning of the world. All the way through until Christ. Right? So that's a good reason to study. And to know Israel. To know it's important to study Israel because this is the people that God chose to bring about the Messiah. So we study it for that reason. John C.
The nations through the prophets and how he dealt with all the nations throughout history.
And why is that important?
To know how he'll deal with us.
That's right. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can look back in the Old Testament and see practically how God worked through issues within the nations. And we know if God's the same today as he was then we can gain the knowledge concerning the character of God and know how he's going to deal with us. That's pretty good. That's, I think, right there, what John said, that is my main reason for wanting to know the Old Testament, because it helps me to know God and know his character. Anything else pop out at you why we would study the Old Testament? Okay. Know history, to know the character of God. Amen. These are all good things. So are you studying the Old Testament?
Yeah.
A little bit, stop. Yeah, amen. By the way, in FBI, Faith Bible Institute, we're going through, where this fourth semester is in the divided kingdom. So if you don't know a whole lot about that, like after, remember Saul, David, Solomon, that was all part of the single kingdom, United Kingdom of Israel. Rehoboam, he split the kingdom. Jeroboam took 10 tribes north. Rehoboam kept, there was two tribes, Benjamin, Judah. Judah was south, Israel's north. That started the divided kingdom, the king's area. A lot of your Old Testament is like the minor prophets and all that, major prophets. That's all in that time frame. And so we're studying that in FBI this time. And you can still get in if you're not in yet, amen. I think we have 11 students. It's a very good year. And, it's an awesome course. And so if you're not real acquainted with that, that's a great way to study the Old Testament, because he brings out all kinds of neat stuff. He has all kinds of show and tell type stuff, amen. So it's a lot of fun. So that's one of the, and then the doctrine of soteriology is the New Testament course, which is the doctrine of salvation, which works great for what we're doing as well. So, that time frame is very, very important. But knowing those things will really help your Bible to come alive. Amen. And if you don't know those things, the Bible looks really, really big. Amen. And it's hard to get a grasp there. So we study the Old Testament on this. If you notice on page 52 there, we study it to know God. Amen. And of course, there's some verses there. We're just kind of doing a review right now in reference to this. Why would we study the New Testament? Does anybody, I think Jessica, do you need a sheet? Do you have your book? You need a sheet? You have your book? In the van? Bud's doing a lot of good out there. Yeah. That's good. So go ahead and bring your van in. Oh, man. I know Sundays are rushed and we're all busy and trying to herd families and get everybody here on time. Amen. And it's good stuff. But I appreciate being here. And we're on page 52 going into 53. The question here is, why would we want to study the New Testament? We know how to. Now we know why we're studying the old. Why would we study the new? Yes. History of the church, right? Which began with who? Jesus. That's right. On this rock I will build my church. Amen. So we will study the New Testament to know how a church functions. Right. Very good. Anybody else? Wow, that's good. So Revelation, right? And also scattered throughout the new. Kind of know what's ahead for us, right? And that would include kind of, we have the history of the church, meaning how it was established, and then we have the future history of the church, which would be in the prophecy side of knowing what's coming. Very good. Is that important for us?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, really important. Book of Revelation says we'll be blessed if we will read the book of Revelation and know these things. Why else would we study the New Testament? The life of Christ. Amen. There's some great studies out there, just the life of Christ. Why would it be important to study the life of Christ?
Well, for me, it's how he interacted with people, where he walked, how long he walked.
Yeah.
Just to witness to people.
Sure.
To tell them, you know, how to become saved.
Right.
So that's how we learned how to witness.
Who are we called to follow?
Jesus.
Right. How can you follow someone if you don't know him?
Exactly.
Right? So, right, we study the life of Christ so we can learn of him and then follow that and then teach others the same. Very good. What's different New Testament than Old in reference to people that are saved?
Well,
big, huge difference. Patricia?
Jesus was in the New Testament.
True, but he established salvation. We get saved. What's the huge difference? Yes.
The wandering of people.
Okay. That's right. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Your Old Testament Spirit would come upon and leave. It was totally different. New Testament, sealed. We're sealed till the day of redemption. And he's with us, and he leads us and guides us in all truth. So we study the New Testament to learn of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? And that's vital, because if you don't understand that, then you're not tapping into what God has availed to you in reference to that. It's still there, but you're not really not grasping the reality of walking in the Spirit. Because if we walk in the Spirit, we will not make provision for that flesh for the lust thereof. Yes, John C.
I was just going to say, in the Old Testament, they look forward to a Savior they didn't know yet.
Mm. It was a mystery.
We look back to a Savior that we know who he is.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, when they died, they went to paradise. And then, of course, when Jesus paid the price on the cross, he went down and emptied out paradise. Mm-hmm. And today, we go straight to heaven.
Amen. And those are all great details to know. This really helps kind of fill in the gaps on some things so that we have a better understanding. Yes?
I would say with the New Testament, you see, if we only had Jesus dying and paying for sins on the cross, but not practical applications of the law, or specifically about regulations of some part of the law, like when God gave Peter about eating and stuff like that,
that's good. That's real good about the New Testament. We see that practicality of how to live out. Because remember, all the laws fulfilled, we learn in the New Testament by loving God and loving our neighbor. And then we see that practical side in Jesus challenging the Pharisees on these things. And so, yeah, we don't cling to the law now. We cling to Christ, which ultimately fulfills the law, which was unable to be done Old Testament. And, of course, by the Holy Spirit, because we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, Patricia. Soul sleep.
Yeah. And so then, just like John said, we go straight to heaven. Our spirit goes to heaven, but then they come back of Jesus, or the Lord. You know,
right, the rapture, the resurrection.
That's yeah. What I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a, you know, the people's already passed. I'm sort of confused about that.
About the people that had already passed before the New Testament? No. Okay. You're confused about that?
We go straight to heaven, mm-hmm. Our spirit, right?
Right. Spirit and soul. Absent from the body, the Bible says, present with the Lord. And our bodies do lay in the earth, and they're awaiting the adoption to with the redemption of our body, it says in Romans 8. And so we're waiting for that resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, whom the second death hath no power, it says in Revelation 20. So that resurrection takes place at the rapture, which we'll see here in a minute in 1 Thessalonians 4, where we will not prevent those which are asleep, right? And so at that sound of that trumpet, those that are dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? So that resurrection for New Testament saints takes place at the rapture, right? And then we go through that first judgment with the Lord. And that is New Testament, right? Resurrection. And so there's other resurrections too, but that's for this age. You're confused about that?
A little bit.
Amen. I have some studies on that. It'd be good for you to kind of read through and all that. But yeah, that's good stuff. Praise the Lord. So studying the New Testament will help you, right? It will help you to come to understand the order of events. And anytime I have a question, I start studying and I have notes on it because I've studied through it. So like I had a question about about judgments. When is everybody judged? When are the Old Testament saints judged? When are the New Testament saints judged? When are the tribulational saints judged? When are the millennial saints judged? When are all these groups judged? When are the lost judged? So I have a worksheet that I put together, and I found 7 judgments in the Bible for different groups of people. Amen? Which I've preached and passed out, and some of you probably don't remember, amen. But I've tried to give that to you. Amen. So But all of these things, as you have questioned, the Bible is of no private interpretation. And I will just say, if I can study and learn these things, so can you. Right? And that's the blessing of Christianity. It's not like only a couple people can do it. No. We all have the same Holy Spirit. Amen? Same Savior, same Holy Spirit, same God. We can dig, we can study, we can show ourselves approved unto God, a work of needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly divide the word of truth. So we see why we want to study the Old Testament, why we want to study the New Testament. Ultimately, it's to know God, know God's ways, know what's happened, know what will happen. And we study the Word of God so that we can know what God wants us to know. Isn't that awesome? All right. So now, look at page number 53. We touched on the know God one before. We just didn't touch that thoroughly. And then before we jump into Revelation, I want to look at on 53, it says, to fulfill your purpose in life. If I was to ask you to test time, one question, write down the purpose of your life from God's perspective, could you do it? What would you write? Okay. How you doing? Okay, but you believe that to be what you're here for, is to tell others about Jesus. Okay.
I do tell them how to be saved, but without knowing, I just don't think I'm doing enough.
Okay. But you do believe that your overall arching purpose in life is just to help people to come to know Christ. Okay, amen. Anybody else? Like, my purpose in life is? Yes. How many here have thought about your purpose in life in the last month? Anybody? Okay. It's important. I believe that every person, every family, every church should have a mission statement, right? Our mission statement, for the most part here at our church, is twofold, right? To seek and save that which is lost, and to edify the body of Christ. Seek and save that which is lost is Luke 19:10. Edify the body of Christ is in Ephesians 4. That is our overarching purpose of our church. Say, why is that important to know that? Well, you could, if you didn't know your purpose, you could still do that. Why do we want to know that? Yes. Yes. Because every decision we make as a church has to fall under that. Does that make sense? Which means if you have a purpose to your life, every decision you make will fall under that. And it helps get rid of a lot of those decisions that you're just, you know, pulled to make. Yes. All over the map.
Yes.
Their life is a mess. It's all over the map. And so you need to know your purpose in life. So I wrote down just general, and Kyle mentioned it, our general purpose to life. Number one, the general purpose for all people is to be saved. It's a commandment of God. He commanded us to repent and believe the gospel. We all have a purpose to be saved. So I just don't know if that person's supposed to be saved. Yes, they are. Amen. God would that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. It's God's will that every person be saved. That is number one, our purpose. Once you're saved, you need to be baptized. Say why? Because we're going to follow the life of Christ, right? We just talked about why I studied the New Testament, why I studied the Old. We studied the New so we can know His ways, His will. And He then gave us the example that after we... After God shines on our life, right? This is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. Well, we are getting, actually got baptized first, but that whole thought there is that we are pleasing God by following Him in believer's baptism, which is an outward expression of what we just did internally in receiving the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we go under the water to picture the death of us, the death of Christ, the death of us. We're entering into that death with Him. And then we're raised to walk in newness of life. That is a picture of the gospel. Say, why do we get baptized? Not because it's magical, the water doesn't do anything. It's not like we don't like do some weird thing to it and all that, and it's like real invigorating or anything. No, it's just water, amen. But we go under it, under the authority of the church. The church is the one, not the pastor. The church is the one that gives authority to baptize. So we're allowing you to enter into this picture as the church agrees with you that you're saved, and you're going to go under the water, and then you're going to come out of that water, and that. Really, the example in Scripture is Jesus's earthly ministry didn't start until after that happened, right? And so that's why it's important, amen? So if you're saved, it's God's will. Your next purpose in life is to be baptized, amen? Say, so where do you get that from? The Bible, amen? That's where I get that from. And then after we're baptized, then you're to be a church member. Say, why? Because it's through the church that ministry can happen. The example of Scripture is that there's no Lone Rangers out there, right? We're not a full functioning body in the ministry all by ourselves. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that. What you do see is the example of many members in a church, and that church makes a body, and that body now can function in that environment, all right? And so you become part of that body so that then we can then fulfill, like you were talking about, your purpose of twofold, edifying other Christians, edifying the body, and then also reaching the world with the Great Commission, the gospel message. So that commission was given to the church, not an individual. So you can't claim that as part of your purpose until you're a member of a church. Does that make sense? Now, so remember, we not only are part of a church, we're part of a family, have jobs, part of civil government, all of that. But I believe the overarching purpose over all of those is what God has given me to do for my work in the gospel. So where do you get that from? Adam. Adam was given a job before anything else. And his family was there to help him in the job God gave him. Make sense? Letting it all sink in. We there? Okay, so you need to have a purpose. And where you find this is, in that it says to fulfill your purpose in life. Let us hear, this was that passage from Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, from Solomon's perspective here, of course, and we know that the commandments were fulfilled through Christ. We come in Christ, New Testament, brings a lot of light into that. But ultimately, we are to hear the conclusion of the whole matter, and we are here now. We exist for God's glory, amen? What do you eat or drink? Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, it says in 1 Corinthians. And so God's purpose for people to be saved, baptized, then a member of a local church, so that then they could reach people for Christ and edify other saints, because saints need encouragement. They need help. They need edification. So it's a twofold ministry once you're saved. And I believe that becomes your overarching purpose in life as a believer, those two things. So every decision we make now, we make in light of that. And if you don't have that, now it's more of the whole thought of today, you know, what can I do that makes me happy? Right? Because there's a whole lot of people that run their life that way. This whole worldview, like the worldview class we went through, is most people operate based on what makes them happy. Yes. Yeah, but those still can't take away from your purpose. Right. All things are
lawful for me, but all things
are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not. One's expedient and one is, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yeah. Yes. Right. Correct. Like on Friday, me and the boys, Brother Graham, his couple boys, we went down to Aspen Acres and rode dirt bikes and four-wheelers all day. I'm a little sore from that. Just starting to recover a little bit. It's pretty good. Amen. It was a good respite. Like you just go. Brother Graham had time of his life. If for nothing else, it was good for him, who's been working hard for quite a while. And he was just a nut on that bike. It was great. Amen. But that was one of those activities. Were we right then reaching souls? No. Were we maybe edifying some saints? Yeah, there's some of that going on. Amen. That was good. Good times of sitting around talking, things like that. But it was more just coming apart, relaxing a little bit so we can get back at it. Amen. But some people, I mean, would going down to the casino and hanging out down there for the day and all that, would that work for a good relaxing day? No, because it would detract from the testimony. It would take away from some things. You would engage in activities that could harm your testimony. Does that make sense? And so if you say, yeah, but where does the Bible say I can't go there? Well, it may not say directly not to go there, but there are activities that are going on there that we're not to have fellowship with. We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So is the food cheaper there? Probably. I don't know. I've never been there. Amen. But that doesn't matter. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? When you have a purpose and you let that purpose kind of be the umbrella over everything you do, you're single and you want to date. Okay, fine. Whatever you choose to do there better be something that doesn't ruin your testimony and cause you to restrict your ability to fulfill your purpose. Does that make sense? And so everything we do needs to fall under that. That's why that has to be at the top. Your family should have a purpose, the purpose of your family. So when your kids come to you and say, I want to do this, that doesn't fit under the purpose. Sorry. Does that make sense? Amen. That's how we live. That's why you must know that. So that, as Kyle said earlier, you're not all over the map. Someone says, I don't have to go to church. Well, I do to fulfill my purpose. Surely, how can I edify the body if I ain't there? Matter of fact, I'm doing the very opposite. Yeah, but I'm upset. I've been hurt. Okay. What should I do based on my purpose? I've been offended. What should I do? I should get that thing right. Right? I should leave my gift at the altar. Someone has ought with me or I have ought with them. I need to get that thing right. Right? Why? Because that's the only way I can fulfill my purpose. My purpose is the main thing. Because God gave it to me. Isn't this good? This is why we study our Bible. This is why, because these things are revealed. So anyway, that's that part. Then nextly, I'll just mention it. You can think about it. To know God's will. God's will and his purpose for our life are very similar. Can someone very easily give me a definition of God's will? Yes. Generally, not specific. That's a specific will. Although it is general to all, it's specific. I'll do it real quick so we're out of time. This is God's will. New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Hebrews tells us this. This is the testament. Did you ever notice that word in there? Testament. Last will and testament. And by the way, who administers Jesus' will? Who is the executor of his estate? Jesus is, right? And how do we know that? Because Hebrews says he is the mediator of the New Testament. And it's in place at the death of the testator. All this language is in there. Is there property given through his will? Yes, I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm telling you, if you look at it this way, you'll realize if you had a rich relative that died, you'd be interested if you were written in. Can I say, as a born-again believer, not part of the family of God, you have a rich relative that died. His name is Jesus. and he rose again, and now he's administering the New Testament. I'm written in. Hallelujah. And I want to read the will. I want to know what I get. Know his will. If somebody dies and you don't know what's in the will and no one comes and tell you, do you benefit from it? No. You'll never benefit from what is written in the will for you unless you know the will. Well, amen. Another reason to know your Bible, amen. I don't have to live offended. I don't have to live depressed. I don't have to live looking at the past and my failures. Why? Because it's written in the will that I've been given some things that let me move on. Amen. Hallelujah. Know the will of God. Amen. Right here. This is his will. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Any questions on that before we look to Revelation? All right. Revelation chapter 4. I better mark in my book here so we don't do that again. All right. Revelation chapter 4. Excuse me. We are looking at verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read those again. We started looking at that last week. And we're going through Revelation because it was mentioned about using this then. And once we start learning some tools of interpretation, and by the way, interpretation, I say that loosely in a sense because it's the Holy Spirit's job to interpret to us. He's been given to us. One of the reasons was to lead us and guide us in all truth. We're not trying to make up things by the Word of God. We're not trying to make it say what we want it to say. We're just trying to rightly divide the truth as we study it and listen to the Holy Spirit as he guides us through. So Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 says, "After this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven." By the way, if there's a door, what's that mean? Yeah. Why do y'all have doors on your house? Are you trying to keep everybody in? Man, you're a very, very subdued group today. Man, why do you have doors with locks on your house? To keep people out. Amen. So one reason there's a door here is because some people aren't going to enter in. The Bible talks about a key to the kingdom of God. What is that key? Matthew 16. Jesus talked about Peter and the keys, all of that. That key was the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Son of God. Amen. That is the key. The way that I get in is the door's been unlocked through my acceptance by faith of Christ, the one who died for me, shed his blood, rose from the grave. That is the key to that door. And when I come believing, that door opens for me. In unbelief, it stays shut. So one reason for the door is it keeps those out that shouldn't be there. Amen? Amen. But good news is that there's a door, but there's a key. There's a lock. It's unlocked for us if you'll be born again. Anyway, that's good stuff. So this is the type of stuff I want you to start thinking as you're reading your Bible. Amen? It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." Amen. If it was open, that means at some point it was shut, as Kyle said. What opens this door? Well, we just talked about that. You can ask that question and go to study and amen. "And the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said..." Now, in Revelation, we're in chapter 4. Do you remember back in chapter 1, John on the island of Patmos, he was there and there was a voice. And he said in chapter 1, something about that voice. Remember what he said? He said it was like a trumpet. Amen? So look back at Revelation 1. This is where, remember, we're learning to study our Bible. And the way we do that is, as we read, we start connecting dots. We read and we connect dots. And that's what you want to be doing. So, "And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me." So Revelation chapter 1. Who wants to read verses 9 through 11, Revelation chapter 1? What do you, Hannah? Go ahead.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Okay, so who is this? It's Jesus, right? So he heard this voice, this It says this, he's in the kingdom of patience. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Who is that? That's Jesus. Amen. I'm the first and the last. That can only be Jesus. Amen. And then what thou seest right in the book. That's why when you look at the title there, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus. Now, if we take that thought, go back to Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Who said that? Jesus said that. How do we know that? Cross-reference. We look back at, but with the clues given, we look back, what was that voice given? And you might say, well, I kind of figured that. Bible study is about taking what you think and then proving it through the Word of God. Right? Because sometimes what we think isn't right. I think things all the time like, hey, that could be. And I go to study, I'm like, nah, that's not quite right. Right? And you're fixed. You're it's made right through study. Does that make sense? And so that's what you want to do. And then in your Bible, you could write that, you could write, which said, you could write a little line there, write a little reference, say for Revelation 1, 9 through 11. That's Jesus. Amen. He said, come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Okay. He's talking to John. We're about 90 AD time frame, 96 AD time frame. He's being shown something which must be hereafter. So, we know that what we're fixing to see deals with something from the time frame where John is right now, a little before 100 AD, and then beyond. Amen? And so just kind of making those. And by the way, anytime you study your Bible, keep a historical perspective in mind. Just because you're reading it today and it says, I'm going to show you something hereafter, at some point hereafter is no longer going to be future. It will already have come to pass. Right? So all prophecy in the Bible either has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled. And where we're at in time, we find ourselves in one of those spots. Right? But you need to know where you're at, where this is at, so you can tell, is that hereafter to you, or was it just hereafter to John and it now has been fulfilled? Does that make sense? And so these are important things to ask as you go through. And it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And we're going to look further at that, on who that is. What we're going to do next week is, I don't think we're going to go into our book there. We'll just jump right in because what I want to do next week is show you, I now have 12 reasons why I believe in reference to this being, I believe this coincides with the rapture, and I'll give you 12 good reasons on why the rapture has to be pre-tribulational, has to happen before the tribulation. I'll give you 12 of those. Just came across a new one today. I was like so excited, amen. And so just study it. And I know there's more, amen. But we'll look at that next week. We'll jump into that. That'll be a blessing. But we're past time, so we need to pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for, God, just your word and how wonderful and powerful it is. And God, your invitation to us to study it and to know it for our lives, God. Help us, Lord, to have a purpose and to know what our purpose is, that overarching purpose to our lives. And then, God, your specific direction for us. God, thank you for all that you've done for us this morning in your word. Help us now to have a good day in Christ. Might you be glorified, Lord, through each of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.